Well, good morning. How many of you have your Bibles with you? Take those things and open them this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. This morning I want to talk with you about the making of a champion. You know, coming to this time of year that most sports enthusiasts are excited about. It's the time when we get together for the pinnacle of all sports almost, but really the pinnacle of what takes place from peewee to junior high to high school to college, all the way up until they get to the NFL. And it's really a fun picture when you think about these guys. They start early. They practice often, hot, sweaty. They do whatever they can in order to make themselves better than they were before they started. So just a few hours from now, we're going to get ready and we're going to watch a bunch of men who are oversized, who are... I mean, many of them are, they're just big guys, right? And they're going to be at the line of scrimmage. They're going to have their helmets on. They're going to have that chin strap tightly. They're going to have on their opposing colors. And those men are going to dig in at the line of scrimmage. And when the ball is snapped, they're going to engage in a contact, a royal battle that's going to take place right there where those men meet. And for some, it's going to be excruciating. For some, it's going to be ugly. For some, it's not even going to be a lot of fun. But still, someone has to come out the victor. Same way it is in life. There's this thing that we do called life, and we get excited about it at moments, but because of its ups and downs, we really don't stay the course. We're going to look at a section of Scripture today that my prayer is that you'll get what it takes for you to become a winner, a champion, if you will. Because that should be our greatest goal in life, is to be a champion in whatever area we choose to focus. For the believer, friends, for the Christ follower, we should really be focused on our relationship with King Jesus. But whatever area it is you choose to become a champion, I want to share with you there are a few things that has to happen. A few things you have to focus on. Number one is you have to have a great desire. You have to have passion for whatever it is you're focused on. I don't care if it's becoming a millionaire and buying and selling small businesses or working on cars and being the best mechanic and auto body technician that you can, or to become the best teacher you can. I don't care what area of life it is. You really need to try and apply this to how your walk with Christ grows and looks. So you have to have a great passion, a great desire. You have to be disciplined. Let me ask you a question concerning your discipline for God. Are you disciplined enough that every morning you get up, don't raise your hand, I don't want to see it, but are you disciplined enough that when you wake up in the morning that you begin your day on your knees with King Jesus? Are you disciplined enough that you open the Word of God and you read it trusting that God is going to use His Word to speak to you? Do you have that passion? Do you have that discipline? Are you committed? Are you committed in the areas of Christian growth? Are you focused on King Jesus so that you can become that champion I believe God desires all of us to become? And then last, let me ask you this. Are you willing to make sacrifices? Because when it comes to you beating your chest, when it comes to, as Paul talks about, we'll see just here in a minute, or boxing the air, or running in the race, you have to be willing to make sacrifices if you ever hope to achieve that closest relationship to King Jesus. So this afternoon, these men, they're going to get together. They're going to line up at the line of scrimmage. They're going to have 4 15-minute quarters. They're going to beat each other to death. Some of them are going to have the energy. Some of them are going to be more passionate. Some of them are going to be more disciplined and more committed and make more sacrifices than the other. You know who's going to come out victorious at the end? The one that has the passion, the discipline, the commitment, and makes the most sacrifices. So in your walk with Christ, are you there? Do you get it? We're going to talk about that this morning. So there are four things that I want to submit to you. With that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and following. Do you not know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Now, everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. Therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one who beats the air. Instead, I discipline my body and I bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself may not be disqualified. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, matchless name of Jesus, today we approach your throne of grace. We ask that you and you alone would be honored and glorified, that you would speak to us through your word today, that you would bind any outside distractions, that you would allow us to focus solely on praising you through your word today. Father, I pray this morning where conviction is needed, Lord, that you would convict. Lord, where encouragement is needed, you would encourage. Where healing is needed, you would heal. Father, we ask that you would just show up today and that you would begin even now the process of speaking to our hearts in such a way that we understand that maybe there's more we have to do in order to become a champion. Father, where we're walking more closely with you maybe than we have ever walked. Father, so we ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me ask you, how many of you this afternoon, you're going to go home, whether you're here or whether you're home, how many of you are going to watch the Super Bowl this afternoon? Yeah, most of us are going to watch the Super Bowl. Some of us aren't. But most of us are going to watch the Super Bowl. It's an exciting thing. Maybe there's going to be some records broken. I'm not really sure. If the Seahawks win, then there'll be some records broke because there'll be a young man as the quarterback leading his team on offense who only have been in the league for 3 years and will have won 2 Super Bowls. I want to tell you something that's hard to do when you first come into the league. But let me tell you something about that young man. Russell Wilson is his name, and this message is most definitely not about Russell Wilson. But that young man loves the Lord Jesus in a big way. And so if I'm going to root for anybody, I'm going to root for Russell Wilson because I want to see him lift up that Lombardi trophy because he's going to honor God with the win. I desire to see that. He's going to give glory to King Jesus. So there have been a lot of Super Bowls over the year. How many of you know what Super Bowl tonight's going to be? What Super Bowl is it going to be? Who? What? 29? 49. It's going to be Super Bowl 49. Does that sound right? 49? Yeah, Super Bowl 49. That's what it's going to be. So there have been a lot of games that have been played. The first Super Bowl was won by Vince Lombardi, I guess, 49 years ago. And I want to share with you, it was a speech that he shared, and it's what it takes to be number one. And in this speech, he said this. He said, winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. That's good, isn't it? Winning is a habit. But listen, because he carries that a little bit further. He says, unfortunately, so is losing. Losing is a habit as well, and there are some teams who do it well. It says, every time a football player goes to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. Like the NFL, there are only a few Christians who really play from the soles of their feet all the way up to the top of their head. Because I'm going to be honest with you, when it comes to our walk with Christ, most of us are just satisfied to be right on the sidelines. Most of us are satisfied to know what we know and we don't want to know anymore. Most of us aren't passionate about the things of God or committed to the things of God or we're willing to sacrifice. Most of us just aren't there. The reality is, the fruit of that evidence is very much right at the forefront of our lives. The world can tell whether or not we're passionate about the things of God or whether we are not. And so we see here through the scripture this morning that Paul was a man who was very passionate about his love for King Jesus. My prayer is that as we conclude our service today, that you would grow in your love for King Jesus, that you would desire to know Him even greater than you know Him today, and that you would be one who can claim that you believe you're a champion of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the first thing that I want to share with you this morning is this. You've got to have passion. You've got to have passion. Paul says this. He said, you've got to be willing to run to win. You know, desire in itself is really not enough, but it is something, isn't it? To have passion. I'm passionate for a big old juicy cheeseburger. Man, when I bite into that big old juicy cheeseburger and that grease just runs down my face, it's so good. You know what I'm talking about, right? How many of you men like those big old good juicy cheeseburgers? Amen. That's right. We're passionate about that big old juicy cheeseburger. Matter of fact, right now I have a desire for one of those big old juicy cheeseburgers. It would be so good. And maybe this afternoon I'd be able to get into one of those. But great desire, or this passion, is wanting something so bad that you can taste it just like that big old juicy cheeseburger. How many of you are passionate for things? Few of you? How many of you are so passionate for something that you can almost taste it? Think about it. It doesn't have to be food. I'm talking about something in life in general. You're so passionate for whatever that is that you can almost taste it. Now you transition that with your love for King Jesus. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you are so passionate for the things of God that you can almost feel His presence even now? Yeah. You begin to see that picture of what God desires for us, because God, you understand, is passionate for you. Amen? You know that, don't you? And you can see the passion that God has for you because you know through the Scripture, God's Word tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, God the Father sent God the Son to the cross on your behalf. God is passionate about you. Should we not be passionate about God? Should we not be passionate about the things of God? And so here's what the Scripture says. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24, it says, do you not know that the runners in a stadium, they all race? But only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you win the prize. I got my running shoes on this morning. I used to be fast. Now I'm just fat. But there was a time, if we strapped on our shoes or our cleats and we lined up, that I was going to outrun most everybody on the football team. And I know you can't believe that when you look at me today, but it's true. I was passionate about my speed, and I worked hard to be fast. There were boxes that we had to jump on, and there were parachutes that we hooked up to our back. And every day, building up through the spring and then the spring football and then going into the summer, I was working hard. And so there were boxes, and I would jump on these boxes. Believe it or not, I could jump on a box about this high. But I was passionate. I desired to be fast. I wanted to be strong, and I wanted to be fast. And so I practiced, and I worked hard. And I had a few colleges call. I had a few letters sent to me. But the big thing, I guess, is this. I wasn't passionate enough, because I ended up staying home. I ended up not taking the scholarships that I was offered. I ended up not playing football. So maybe I just wasn't passionate enough. But what about you and your relationship to King Jesus? He says that you and I need to run in such a way that we win the prize. What is the prize that you and I are running toward as a child of God? What is that prize? It's nothing more than you and I be able to look Jesus face to face, eye to eye one day, and Him tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. I pray that I'm able to hear that one day. Amen. You desire to be able to hear that one day. And the way that that's going to happen is that you have a passion for God that causes you to surrender every area of your life to know Him greater, to know Him more, to hang on to King Jesus above all else. Friends, are you hanging on to King Jesus today? Are you hanging on? Are you knowing that this race that you and I are in, In a race, there's always highs and lows, right? There's always peaks and valleys. J. Vernon McGee said this. He talked about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, when we're in this relationship, our desire should be to know Him more. Amen? That should be our desire. That should be our passion. And so J. Vernon McGee said it this way. He said that the highest desire that can possess any heart is a longing to see God. Do you have that longing? Are you that passionate that one day you're going to be able to look Jesus straight in the eyes and you're going to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys that are set before you." Wow, what a day that'll be, right? When my Jesus I shall see. What a day. It's going to be so exciting. God desires us to be passionate about Him. Instead, more passionate about Him rather than we are passionate about the things of the world. Let me share some statistics with you this morning. The last statistic that this comes from is September of 2013. But I want to share some statistics because we're passionate about our sports, aren't we? We really, really are passionate about our sports. So let me give you some statistics, some percentages of high school students that make it to the NCAA on a scholarship of some kind or another. For basketball, 3.5% of people, that's an average between the boys and the girls, 3.5% end up making it to the NCAA on an athletic scholarship. For football, it's about 6.5% of the athletes end up making it to the NCAA on a scholarship. For baseball, it's about 6.8%. Listen to this one. For hockey, it's about 11.3%. We don't play hockey around here, but that would be the one to focus on because a greater percentage of those end up getting a scholarship to play in the NCAA. For soccer, it's 5.7%. Now, that's from making it to high school to college. So our percentages are pretty low, so we need to major on something in high school even that's really going to focus or carry us into what our future is going to look like. Now, I love football. I focused on football in high school more than I did anything else. Definitely more than I did academics. Don't be like me. You need to be better. You need to understand that there's only a percentage. And if you've got that desire and that passion for whatever sport you're playing, then you do it with all of your heart and soul. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. But here's the percentage that make it from the NCAA or for college to the professional levels. Basketball, 1.2%. Wow. I want to go on and share these, and then I want to tell you, I didn't put the next one down, but from high school to the professional levels, it's like 0.6% was the highest of people who make it. So here it is. In basketball, it's 1.2% make it from college to the professionals. 1.6% football players make it from college to the professionals. 9.4% in baseball. So as far as that sport goes, that's the one in college that makes it to the professionals more than does any other sport. Now, here's where you mess up with hockey. Because hockey, it's only 0.8% of college players make it to the National Hockey League. And then for soccer, it's 1.9%. So I believe there are some things that you and I need to be more passionate about than our sports, isn't there? There's things that you and I need to be more passionate about. And for the believer, for the Christ follower, for the one who loves Jesus with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, we should have a great passion for the things of God. So Vince Lombardi said this. He said, the difference between a successful person and others, not a lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge, but rather in a lack of will. We're just not passionate enough in the things that we focus on. So that brings us to our next point, because honestly, you and I know that desire and passion enough is just not enough. It's insufficient if we leave it by itself, isn't it? We're not going to get anything accomplished if we're only passionate about these things. We've got to temper passion with discipline. That's the second thing, and so you've got to have discipline. How many of you have that discipline? We're going to talk about discipline for just a moment because discipline really is the fuel of success. You know, you can have the most beautiful car out in the parking lot, but if it's out of gas, it ain't worth nothing. It's not going to go anywhere, is it? So you have to have discipline. You have to know that there are times in your life when you have to refuel yourself. Amen? You got to refuel. And for me, I'm going to tell you, I wake up of the mornings and I spend my time with God in the morning. I want to try and refuel myself before I begin my day, because I want you to know that throughout the day, Satan is going to throw everything that he can throw at me in order to cause my fuel cell to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. So if you're not refueling every single day, then there's a chance one day you're going to find that you've run completely out of fuel. Spiritual fuel I'm talking about. So you have to be disciplined in the things of God, because without discipline in the Christian life, you're never going to grow. You're going to continue to be weak. And that's exactly what Satan preys on. He preys on weakness. Or you could be one of these Christians that have become so weak that Satan does not even bother with you, because he knows there's no worry with your life. Pray that that's never said of you, amen? Pray that that's never said of me, amen? I pray that when Satan hears me get up in the morning and he knows that my feet hit the floor, that he says, "Oh no, Brad is awake again." Don't you pray that he says that for you? Oh no. Oh no, they're awake again. Oh no, that group at First Baptist is awake again. And you can say, "That's right, and we're gunning for you." We need to be disciplined in the things of God. It's about to attempt to live the Christian life without spiritual discipline is like Barney Fife getting into a ring with Mike Tyson. Somebody's going to get hurt, right? Who would that be? Yeah, be Barney Fife. Or me, even getting into a ring with one of those guys. I mean, somebody's going to get hurt and it's going to be bad. And so Paul tells that the competitor must go into strict training. And he said this. He says, he beat his body. He strained and he pressed on. Like the bodybuilder. You know, in order for him to rip his muscles, in order for them to grow, he has to pick up weight, and he works out, and then he adds weight to it, and then he continues to work out, and he adds weight to it, and he continues to work out, and he's working out, he's passionate about muscle growth, and he's continuing to lift these muscles, and he gets to the point where he realizes that his discipline is what's going to carry him on, the passion that he has to grow those muscles, and he's lifting, and he's lifting, and I want to tell you, he's tearing those muscles so that they can recuperate and they can continue to grow. Like Paul, he tells us right here in the scripture that really what we've got to do is we've got to push past the burn sometimes, don't we? Because we understand that it's going to be hard, that it's going to be difficult, that it's going to be painful. So what has to happen is, in those moments of weakness, what do you have to do? As a believer, in those moments of weakness, what do you have to do? You have to press on. You have to keep going. You never throw in the towel. You never quit. You never give up. For these guys who are going to be on the football field this afternoon, they're the ones that have made it to the pinnacle. They're the ones that have made it to the big game. Do you know why? Not because they let air out of the football. It's because they fought harder. It's because they practiced longer. It's because they studied more than did any of the other teams. And as a result, maybe with some help of some deflated footballs, they won. No, I'm kidding. We're just going to move on from that. So, maturity in Christ doesn't just happen, does it, guys? We got to work hard for it. And so 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says this. Look, pop it up there for me. Look, but have nothing to do with irreverent and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. What's God's desire for you? That you would train yourself in godliness. God's desire for you is that you would train yourself in godliness. So pull on up Hebrews for me. Hebrews 12, verse 7. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 7. It says, endure it as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? So you have to be disciplined. You understand that there is absolutely no shortcut to becoming a champion. Amen or oh me. No shortcuts. You've got to work hard. You've got to persevere. You've got to press on. How many of you remember NFL football coach Tom Landry? How many of you remember that name? Yeah, well, let me share a quote for him. He said this, that the job of a football coach is to make men do what they do not want in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. What is the greatest desire of an NFL football player? To win a Super Bowl. The greatest desire of an NFL football player. He works hard. He's disciplined. He's passionate about that. And he's going to work hard and hard and hard. Every day he's going to get up and he's going to do whatever it takes so that he might win on the field. So discipline puts feet to desire in order to become a champion. But you have to temper that with the highest level of focus and commitment, which is number three. You've got to be committed. Christianity is not just a recreational sport, guys. Is it? So, you wake up today and are you a believer today? When you wake up tomorrow, are you going to be a believer tomorrow? When you wake up Tuesday, are you going to be a believer Tuesday? Do you understand that it's not just a part-time job being a Christ follower? It's an everyday decision that you make. Every single day you got to wake up and you got to say, today I want to glorify you, Lord. Today I want to be passionate for the things of God. Today I desire to honor you, Lord, with my life. Today, every single day when you wake up, you have to decide whether you're going to be committed to the things of God or not. Today, are you committed? As an individual, are you committed to the things of God? As a church, are we committed to the things of God? We have to be committed and focused on the things of God. And when life gets tough, we don't just check out, friends. We continue to persevere and we continue to push forward. Got to continue to push forward. And so Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Paul writes this. He says, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me upward in Christ. Did you hear what Paul said? Over the rain, listen, Paul said this, that we forget our past. So many of us are stuck in our past that we can't move forward with Christ. I mean, as an individual, you can't allow what happened way back here to hold you, to keep you from moving forward in your relationship with King Jesus. You've got to decide that today you're going forward because God calls us to. Turn me down just a little bit. I'm going to get loud enough that you're not going to have to turn me up too much. But it's about forgetting those things. You've got to have short-term memory loss, really. You can't worry about what happened yesterday. If you messed up, so what? Get over it. Move on. You can't continue to dwell and to live back there because what's going to happen is Satan is going to use it and he's going to use it and he's going to use it and he's going to beat you down to the point where one day you're going to wake up and you're going to even forget that you've ever been in a relationship with Jesus. So every single day, you've got to decide that you're going to forget those things where you've messed up, those problems, those situations. You learn from them, but you've got to press on. You've got to move forward because he said this, you've got to strain towards those things that are ahead. And so he said, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So you got to get your running shoes on, friends. You got to put them on and you got to get in your stance and you've got to get ready to take off for God and then you got to pace yourself. Because it's going to get hard. You know, there's a time when I could jog just a little bit. Now, we've got a young man in here. His name's Tyler. The boy jogs cross country like crazy. I don't do that. I jog from here to the door, and I'm huffing and puffing like the big bad wolf. Except I'm not blowing any houses down. So what you have to do is you have to pace yourself, right? You can't expect to get up tomorrow morning and to be able to run the race and complete it you've got to take just a little bit today and you've got to grow. You've got to take just a little bit today and you've got to exercise. You've got to take just a little time today and you've got to spend it on your knees. You've got to take just a little time today and you've got to spend it in His Word. You've got to take just a little time today and you've got to spend it in His presence, knowing that He is building you up for a fight, because one day you're going to come toe-to-toe with the devil. And it's either that he's going to win because you're too weak, or God is going to be victorious in you because your strength is found in Him. So you're going to forget those things that are behind you and you're going to move forward. What are you going to do? And the last thing I want to share with you this morning is, we talk about these things. We have passion, we have discipline, we have commitment. The last thing I believe is one of the most important is this: you've got to be willing to sacrifice. Don't you? You've got to be willing to make sacrifices. If you desire to be successful, then you got to understand that the key to success is a willingness to sacrifice. I want to tell you something, that when I wake up in the morning, yes, I spend time with God, but there was a long time for me, about 12 years, beginning at the age of 26, and I'm praying, Lord, please let me get this education. Please let me learn more about your Word. Please let me learn more about you. And I'm studying. And it took me 12 years from the age of 26. And you don't even know how many times I wanted to quit. You don't even know how many times I wanted to give up. You don't even know how many times I wanted to throw in the towel. But sometimes you got to sacrifice. Sometimes you got to keep fighting. Sometimes you got to continue to move forward, even when the devil is trying to hold you back. Sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes you're going to do things that you absolutely do not desire to do, but you got to understand it's for the glory of King Jesus. All of it. Not for the glory of man. Not for the glory of a church, but for the glory of King Jesus, who sent His Son to the cross to die a very, very ugly death. So sometimes, friends, it takes sacrifice. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this. It says, "Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." What's hindering you today? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from being victorious in Jesus? Today, there's something. I don't know what it is. I don't know where your struggles are. I don't know what areas of your life that are dictating your future. But I do know today that if you'll decide that you're going to let go of those things, then God can take you to a much higher place as a child of God. So we're wrapping this up this morning, and I just want to ask you, it's just like those men this afternoon. They've worked hard. They've had a passion all of their lives to play football. They've had discipline. They've gotten up every morning and they've been committed to the small things. And then they've sacrificed. Oh, so much they have sacrificed, so that today they can be on that football field. So today in your life, in your walk with God, where are you struggling? Where do you feel beat up? Where do you feel beat down? Maybe you're here and you feel like you just can't move on. Today I want to encourage you. I want you to know that you can be victorious. But you've got to make some changes. Got to be passionate for the things of God. Let me ask you, are you passionate for the things of God? You got to be disciplined in the things of God. Friends, are you disciplined in the things of God? Yeah. And then you got to take that next step. Are you really committed? Are you really, really committed? You know, I have desire, I have passion. I have a little bit of discipline. But are you committed to doing whatever it takes, even to the point of sacrifice? Today, are you willing and ready to forget your past so that you can become a champion in Christ? Will you pray with me this morning? Father in heaven, today, in the matchless, most holy name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and we praise you for being our God and our King. Lord, thank you so much that you didn't quit in the garden. thank you so much that you didn't quit in the square where you were being beaten with that whip of cats of nine tails, whatever it was. Father, thank you for continuing the course that was set before you. Thank you that you didn't quit when they were nailing you to the cross. And thank you, Father, that in the name of Jesus, when he was hanging there, he thought of me. He thought of everybody that has ever lived or everybody that is ever going to live. And for them, he said that sin is finished. Sin is finished. And today it's through the matchless blood of Jesus that I could boldly approach the throne of grace knowing that my sins are forgiven. Father, I pray for this congregation. I pray for this church. I pray for these as individuals. Lord, that they would forget those things that are behind them and that today they would press on for the prize that is ahead, that is in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand this morning? We have our invitation time. Will you come today?